have to give her brother a sweet tomorrow night. Don't be like this. And the little minister, you know, and he used to have it all worked out to the last detail. He used to buy polo mints. He loved polo mints. And he knew that if he stuck a polo mint in his mouth before he started to preach, it took a 25 minutes to dissolve. And then he would let the people out. And one day he preached for 3 hours. He put his hand in his pocket. He had put a button in. No mistake. So it didn't work out. So there you are. We'll try to keep off the buttons. Join in the chorus of Lovely Old Gospel Hymn.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard above his groaning of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin.
Please tonight to the Gospel according to Matthew's Gospel, and to chapter 7. Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 7. And we're going to read some verses toward the very end of the chapter from verse 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and from verse 24. The Word of God says in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Amen. May God again bless to us this evening the public reading of his own inspired and his infallible word. You know, in this day and age in which we are living, oftentimes we hear it said, "Don't preach about heaven and hell. Don't preach about the consequences of sin or the necessity for repentance." And sometimes people say, "Why don't you just stick to the Sermon on the Mount? And if you would just preach the Sermon on the Mount, then everyone would be happy." And when I hear that, I say to myself, I wonder, have these people who call for the preacher just to preach on the Sermon on the Mount, have they ever read the Sermon on the Mount? For clearly they haven't. They haven't studied it in any depth at all. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ are the very final part of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember it starts in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5. And the Bible says that seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek," and so on. And as the Lord Jesus Christ went up into the mountain that day, he sat down, he saw the multitudes, and he began to teach and to preach the gospel of his kingdom. Started off speaking about what we call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, the word comes from two English words, beautiful and attitude. And the Lord Jesus says, these are the beautiful attitudes he is teaching us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then you'll notice that later on in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells the disciples hard to pray. He teaches them what it is to pray. You'll find also that he begins to teach about the law of God. And the Lord Jesus says, "Ye have heard it said." And then he says, "But I say unto you." And he gives the law of God. And then he interprets the law of God and tells us exactly what it means, not only the law, but the spirit of the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery." But Jesus says, "I say unto you that if a man looketh upon a woman and he lusts after her in his heart, he has committed adultery in his heart." And so the Lord Jesus is speaking here about many wonderful things as he taught the people, the multitudes who went to hear him that day as he sat upon the mountain there, just overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and that natural amphitheater and he taught the people who had gathered thither to hear him. But as he comes to the very end of his preaching and of his teaching, he says in verse 24, where we commenced our reading, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." And then you'll notice in verse 26, he says, "And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." And the Lord Jesus then, he tells a story. He tells a parable of two builders, a wise man and a foolish man. One who built his house upon the rock, and one who built his house upon the sand. Now, perhaps when you were at Sunday school, like myself, you heard the definition of a parable. I was always taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's a wonderful description. That's a wonderful definition of what a parable is. In the original language, a parable means to lay along beside. And so the Lord Jesus tells a story. It is an earthly story. It's a story with which his hearers, his listeners were all familiar, with which they could easily identify. And then along with that earthly story, the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth the heavenly truth, the great doctrine of the gospel, the message of salvation in the story. And I want you to notice tonight some very simple lessons as we think about this part of the Sermon on the Mount, this conclusion. As the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Beatitudes, as he talked about the law of God, as he spoke about prayer, as he talked about the straight gate and the narrow way that leadeth unto life, and the broad gate and the broad way that leads to destruction, you'll notice first of all the true character of this parable. And it says there in verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," verse 26, "everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." And you notice the Lord Jesus Christ, after he has spoken, after he has preached, and he preached with one that had authority and not as the scribes, he says that these two men in his story, they are illustrating for us how men and women hear the word of God, and some people obey the word of God and do what the word of God tells them, but there are others who hear the word of God, and Jesus says they do it not. Over there in the epistle of James, in James chapter 1 and verse 22, James says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And so James says we have to hear the word of God, and we have to be doers of the word of God. Because if we are only hearers of the word of God, we deceive ourselves. James says it's just like a man looking in the mirror. He beholds his face, but when he walks away from the mirror, he forgets what manner of man he was. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, and he said, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." You see, many men and women hear the word of God, and as we say in Ulster, it goes in one ear and out the other. They hear the word of God, And that's the end of it. They never put it into practice. They never obey its commandments or its precepts. They never act upon what they have heard. And Jesus said, after he had preached this wonderful sermon on the Mount, he says, I want you to be hearers of the word, and I want you to do what the word says. And he says, the man or woman who hears the word of God and who does what the word of God says, they are like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. But he says, the people who hear the word of God and they don't do what the word of God says, they are like this foolish man who built his house upon the sand. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, and I love, there's some lovely passages in the book of Ezekiel that are very dear to my heart, because it was through a passage of scripture in the book of Ezekiel that I was called into the ministry of God's word. But in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30, there's some interesting verses there. And God says to Ezekiel, also thy son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. And isn't that the picture of many a man or woman in Northern Ireland who has heard the gospel time and time again? They sit in the house of God as if they are God's people. They hear the words that are spoken by the preacher of the word of God. And they even say, my, we enjoy the word of God. It's like a very lovely song. It's like one who has a pleasant voice, one that can play well on an instrument. They hear the word of God, but they do not obey the word of God. So when we come to this parable at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, this is the true character of the parable. This is the Lord Jesus Christ applying the word of God to the hearts of men and women, that they might believe on him, that they might trust him, that they might find salvation and eternal life. Then I want you to notice that not only the true character of the parable, but the Lord is speaking about two categories of people. He's speaking about the wise man in verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And he's speaking then in verse 26. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. The wise man and the foolish man. And so it is right through the Holy Scriptures. Prophets of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, the apostles of the Lamb, they called men and women to be wise, called them from the folly of sin, called them to be saved, to leave their lost estate by looking to Christ and finding salvation. Way back in the Old Testament scriptures, in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, God's servant Moses, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, and blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou, that both thou and thy seed may live. Oh, Moses says, and this is his message to the people. He knows he's going to leave them shortly, and he's bringing these final messages to the people of God. And he says, I am calling heaven and earth to be witness, to record against you this day that I'm setting before you life and death and blessing and cursing, and I'm calling you to choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. We mentioned last week in our preaching Elijah, the man of God, at Mount Carmel. They said to the people, if Baal be God, then follow Baal. But if the Lord, if Jehovah is God, then serve him and follow him. You remember the beautiful words of the sweet psalmist of Israel in Psalm 1 when he speaks about the blessed man. The man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He's a wise man. He loves the Lord. He serves the Lord. He doesn't keep counsel with the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way with sinners. He doesn't sit down in the seat of the scorner. The Bible says, all that he doeth shall prosper. But the psalmist says, the wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And the Lord Jesus Christ, even in this great Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 7 and verse 13, he says to the hearers, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He says, beware of the false prophets. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to strive to enter in the straight gate and to walk the narrow way. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember those parables in Matthew chapter 25, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And when the bridegroom returned, the foolish virgins had gone to seek oil for their lamps. And the wise entered into the marriage feast. But when the foolish came, the door was shut. And so it is in this world. Men and women hear the gospel. And the Bible says, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Those who obey are saved. They're numbered among those who are described as wise. They're numbered among those who are as the sheep of the flock of God's pasture. They are the redeemed. They are the godly. They are the saints of God. But there are the foolish, the unregenerate, the ungodly, numbered with the goats, because they would not obey the word of the living God. So the Lord Jesus gives us here the true character of this parable. And then the two categories of people that are found there, the wise and the foolish. But you notice then the types of construction that the parable speaks about. It speaks about a wise man who built his house, and it was founded upon a rock. We often sing the little chorus in the children's meeting, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when we think about the wise man, we realize he is a wise builder. As he begins to build, he wants to get a good foundation. And he's going to build upon the rock. And of course the Bible teaches us that Christ is the rock. Jesus said, and upon this rock I will build my church. The apostle speaks in the New Testament and he says, Christ was that rock. And the wise builder, he's going to build a good building, so he wants a good foundation. The late W.P. Nicholson, the great Ulster evangelist, he used to say, if you want to build high, you have to dig deep to get a good foundation. And he used to say, you can't get men and women saved until you get them lost, until they know that they're lost, until they realize they are sinners, until they realize their need of God's salvation, and then you can get them to Christ. But this wise builder, he was building upon a good foundation. His foundation was one of choice, a wise choice. He founded it upon the rock. And of course, there are many scriptures. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians 10 about Christ being the foundation. How many times in the Psalms do we read about even the name of the Lord is like a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and they're safe. And how, men and women, we need to build our lives, as the little children's chorus says, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, on that good foundation. And the wise builder, he works, and he's digging deep. And I can just imagine, as the foolish builder starts out to build upon the sand, well, it doesn't take him just as long. And he is characterized by the speed at which he's going on. And he's watching his house going up. And this other fellow, he looks at him with scorn. And he says, he's still digging for a foundation. He's taking all the shortcuts. But oh, the folly and the stupidity of this man building upon the sand. And beloved, that's the way it is in this world. God's people are seeking to live for Christ. We're seeking to walk the narrow way. We're seeking to go by the book, by the word of God, to follow the Lord's precepts. The entrance of God's word giveth light to us day by day. And the world looks upon us. Am I the laugh at the child of God who wants to do the decent thing, who is a man or woman of integrity and honesty? And the world, they just want to take the shortcuts. They want to get there first. And they think that sharp deals that they're doing, God's word would call them crooked. They think they're clever in so many ways. They think the child of God is someone to be pitied, someone to be laughed at. And like that foolish builder, their building seems to be going on and on and on. And so there are two categories, two types of constructions in this parable. One built by the wise man. The old prophet says, line upon line and precept upon precept. One built by the foolish man who went up like a mushroom. But then you notice the time of crisis in the parable. You see, the Bible says the wise man built the house upon the rock. Verse 25 says, the rain descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. Verse 27. As far as the foolish man is concerned, he's built his house upon the sand. But the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. You see, into every life, on the just, on the unjust, on the saints of God and on the sinner, and the men and women who are serving Christ, who are Christians, and the men and women in the world who have no time for God, no time for God's day, no thought for God's word or God's house or God's servants. But my, in all our lives, the Bible says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job goes on to say that man is but a few days and he is full of trouble. And there are the storms of life that come. You'll notice when this storm came, the kind of storm that it was. For the Bible says here, the rains descended. As it were, the water, the heavy rains falling down upon the top of that building. And then it says, the floods came. May the waves come to rush at the very foundation of that building. And the winds blew to the sides of that building. In other words, its storm is coming from every angle. That's why we need to be on a good foundation. And men and women, that's the way it is in life. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Sickness comes. Tragedy comes. Bereavement comes. Unemployment comes. Hardship comes. Difficulties come. And there comes a time of crisis. And friend, what will you do in the time of crisis? Where is your faith in the time of crisis? Well, did the hymn writer say, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. And the apostle says in Hebrews, which anchor is the hope of the soul. And he says that anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ, the forerunner who has entered in beyond the veil before us. The crisis comes. We have mentioned on other nights in the gospel campaign, some of this world's so-called great thinkers and infidels and atheists and philosophers, and they came, and after the temptations of life and the trials of life, then the trouble really hit home. One old infidel, as he lay on his deathbed, shrieking and howling, and his friends say to him, hold on, hold on, he said, but I've nothing to hold on to. Another said, I am taking a leap out into the dark. You see, the crisis, time of crisis, as we see it in the parable, it comes. But thank God the child of God can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me close by speaking about the telling consequences that are spoken of in this parable. You see, the Bible says there in verse 25, when the floods came, the rain descended, the winds blew and beat in that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. That's the life of the child of God. That's the man or the woman, the young person saved by the grace of God. They are supported there on that foundation which has been laid, foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, cannot be shaken. We are safe, and thank God we are secure. Then what about your life tonight? What are you trusting in? What are you depending upon for eternity? And the Bible says concerning the other house of the foolish man that the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. Verse 27 says, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It fell, and great was the fall all that. You see, dear friends, it fell, and great was the fall, a great fall. Luke, Dr. Luke, in his gospel, he records this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 49 of chapter 6, that he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The ruin of that house was great. It fell, and great was the fall of it. There was no foundation. And it fell fast. And it fell fully and completely. And the Greek scholars tell us that the physician Luke, he used a word that means the way the veins in our body would rupture and just everything disintegrate. What an awful thing for men and women who live without Christ, who are building upon the shifting sands of time. Because one day, after the troubles and the trials and the temptations of this life which are common to all men, there's the great tribunal of God. And when they stand before God, without Christ, without hope, great will be the fall. Great will be the ruin. To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul, it's such a loss that nothing can restore. That's why we urge men and women to seek the Lord while you may be found. Build your life. Build your home. Build your family on the rock, Christ Jesus, and be safe for time and for all of God's eternity. May God bless these thoughts from His Word to our hearts tonight.